Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Of course, as much as we talk about the World Cup, there are other very, very important things happening around the world, and particularly with the United States and Iran, because it seems to be that this is back in play. It doesn't feel the same as it was, but let's ask somebody who does follow this very closely, Yigal Marcus, director at the Republicans Overseas. Yigal, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're well.
Yeah, doing very well, and I'm sorry to disappoint you and your listeners, but the USA is far better positioned to win the World Cup than your South African team. But look, it's just these things that you have to face.
We,
the reality
we know that. You know what? We love our team, but we'll be very excited if they even get through to the knockout rounds. Yeah, we were excited. we were excited they got visas and got there. So you know, the bar is fairly low on our side. But let's focus on another competition that the US is involved with, and of course that is Iran. So we've seen this escalation. Donald Trump's rhetoric last night or yesterday, increasing as it does. What is the latest here?
Yeah, so the U.S. last night continued to wage attacks against the Iranians. The excuse, of course, was the downing of the Apache helicopter, which was, you know, a almost cost two American lives. And they should have caused those lives, but if not for a miracle and incredible drone boat technology to find those soldiers of ours who were literally swimming for 2 hours in the sea, we would have had a tragedy. But I think it's a greater issue here. And the greater issue right now is that, look, President Trump has given Iran more than enough time to come to an agreement. They have not. They haven't conceded on things, even though he says they're very close. That's more about, I think, oil prices than it is about necessarily reality. Mm. But he's given them the chance, and I think he's realizing that these people don't respond to anything but force and tremendous physical pressure. And so, as he said yesterday, time's up. We're done. And I think what you're going to find over the next days, like we did last night, but I think in the next few days, is very targeted and painful attacks until Iran comes back on their knees to say, we're going to do a deal, or the U.S. Is going to continue to wage a very targeted, very painful war. I don't think we're going to go back to the massive across the scale kind of attacks that we saw 100 days ago. Mm. But I do think we're going to see, you know, petrochemical and maybe oil reserves and storage facilities. I think maybe pumps, maybe, you know, very targeted power plants to give them a sense of what's coming. And at every stage say, is this enough for you? No? Okay, we'll do another one. And until they come back and say, there's no more negotiation. These are the rules. Either you're in or you're out. In the meantime, you know, don't necessarily underestimate, you know, 100 days is a lot of time, not just for negotiations, but for intelligence gathering, for preparations. I think you're going to find both Israel and America knowing exactly what they have to take out. The Iranians.
Interesting. I wanted to ask that because I see that they took out a whole communications or control center. And I was wondering, you know, when they had the period before when they were really hammering Iran, why these weren't dealt with then? Does it mean potentially that they weren't aware of them?
I don't know. I wish I had privy to that kind of intelligence. I think that there's also this recognition that you have to balance taking out all of their communication methods with the need for those communication methods to communicate, stop waging war or back down or surrender, whatever is needed. Without the ability to communicate, and with a certain level of command and control, you then have rogue army, Iranian IRGC units doing whatever the heck they want to do with no command and control. And that could be dangerous because it could be much, much harder at that point when there's no communications to bring a war to its end. But that being said, you know, I'm sure these are all intentional. The Mossad is literally all over the place in Iran. They know what they're doing. And I think you'll find, again, very targeted, focused attacks now to incur maximum pressure with you know, enough damage so that the Iranians realize that we're serious?
So far, Iran has not, well, this particular round attacked Israel. Is that likely to remain the status quo?
That is the question that remains to be seen. You know, the Iranians are, I mean, look, historically, they've been great negotiators, not because they've ever got anything out of it, but because they just love stringing things along until people become tired. And they're underestimating President Trump. They really are underestimating him. So will they concede? I think pressure will concede. I think that if they continue down this path with this team, you're waging war against Americans, then it wouldn't surprise me if this team is then eliminated and a new team somehow comes into power and you know, try again. But I do think that there is a breaking point of where there'll be so much damage to the Iranian military and to the Iranian economy that they will have no choice. You know, if the minute they start stopping the pumping and extraction of oil from the ground, they turn off those pumps because they have no place to put the oil. That's real permanent long-term damage. They can't afford that in an economy that's already you know, on the brink of complete collapse.
So where to from here? Obviously, diplomacy is something that Trump has been pushing very, very hard. But at the same time, Iran isn't showing any real signs. I think anybody that's watched Iran and watched the area for a while knows that. As you've said, they drag things, they stall, they drag things along. You know, this nuclear conversation's been going on for years and years and years. Is there a chance that Trump and the U.S. will simply lose interest, or will this go? Has this gone on too long for that to happen?
Yeah, no. There's no way President Trump is going to concede this. That is not an outcome that is likely at all. What I think you're going to find is, again, America is going to raise the pressure right now. It wouldn't surprise me if Hezbollah, because Iranians they can't miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to dispatch Hezbollah, which is how you get into a wider, you know, potentially a wider conflict. But I do think I'm confident President Trump will not back down. He's a lethally amazing negotiator. And we've given them the opportunity to negotiate. And at the end of the day, they are going to have to make a decision. If they're not going to be willing to make a deal, then President Trump will find the team that will be willing to make the deal.
What about the bizarre, I think, comments from Erdogan in Turkey yesterday? Because if you play it out the way that you think it might, which is Hezbollah becomes a little bit more aggressive, Israel responds to that. This has the potential for Iran to shift the focus away from Iran itself towards the Syria, Lebanon, Turkey triangle, which of course takes the focus there. But why is it that Syria, that Turkey would make these types of comments and potentially draw itself into a war alongside Iran?
I think there's a couple of things playing here. First of all, Erdogan wants to become the de facto leader of the Islamist world after all of this. And so he needs to flex his muscles. And that's number one. And he loves attacking Jews and attacking the Jewish people. He's an anti-Semite. And so this plays to his vision of a renewed Ottoman Turkish empire led by him, and Ottoman Turkish Islamist empire led by him. So that's number one. Number two, what he's, you know, implicitly, I think, trying to do as a NATO country is to lay a trap and use that as leverage to try to stop Israel. Not going to work, but he's trying to, because at the end of the day, you know, it's always dangerous to go to war against a NATO country. He is trying to exert whatever influence he can so that at the end of all of this, he can be viewed as the savior, the winner. You know, his foreign minister came out and said that Turkey wants to control Jerusalem. Yeah, fine. I mean, they're crazy people, and they're evil people. But they are trying to position themselves ultimately as being the next Iran.
Mm.
Not going to play out very well for them because there's a large constituency in their country that are not Islamists. They're actually pro-Israel and pro this new, you know, Abraham Accords and this new potential future of the Middle East. But Erdogan, you know, too, is so in love and lustful for power and for prestige that he is trying to pursue that. But this is all personal to him. He wants to be the leader of this new regime, and that's why he's threatening it. Do I think that Turkey will attack Israel? No, because Israel can deal with that problem, you know, and I don't think America will allow it. And frankly, I don't think any of the other NATO countries will allow it as well.
That is where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always, Yigal Marcus, talking to us about the situation with regard to the U.S. and Iran. Yigal Marcus is the director at Republican Overseas.